Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of What's in the Box, where we talk about what we're playing in Cube and what you should try out in yours. This is Drew, or Quad Nines, one of your hosts.
This is Zakeel, otherwise known as Merfolk Magic, the other host of this cast, and we are back after what seems to be like 6 months, I think.
That's pretty close. That's pretty accurate.
But yeah, our last episode was the Modern Horizons pick, and speculative thing. We kind of guessed which cards what were going to be in the set. I don't think we hit anything.
but no, they had a card that's just like Baleful Strix. This is exactly what you wanted.
It's true.
Except for, I don't know, it's not blue-black, and it's not an artifact, and I can't play it in a Tezzeret deck. So, yeah, no, I don't want it at all. Thanks. I hate it.
So yeah, so that's been fun. So this episode, we're going to talk about all of the sets since then, which is Modern Horizons. Do a quick overview of everything, because obviously people are aware of what the cards are now, but Modern Horizons, Core 20, and Throne of Eldraine. And then additionally, but before that, I guess, what have you been up to? How are things going? What's new?
Things are going pretty good. I got a promotion at work, which,
woo!
Yeah, I know, right? It's actually, they changed my title and pay to what I'd been doing for about 6 months, which was completely different from what they hired me for, so that was fine. But yeah, it's just a couple more hours a week. But yeah, just I also started doing YouTube videos again about 3-ish months ago, and I've done a few videos. I've probably done 10 or 12 videos in the last couple months, and it's I really like it. It's still hard finding time to be consistent. So
yeah, absolutely. And if people want to find those videos, where would they look?
Well, my YouTube channel is Quad Nines. You can actually search MTG Cube, and I'll be somewhere in there. Or I had a series I started up that's only got like 5 episodes so far. I've been kind of slacking on that, but it's Cube Card of the Week. So there's a lot of really sweet cards that I like to build around and play with in Cube. So it's been a fun series so far. I've got another one I'm kind of stuck on working on it right now, but hopefully soon.
Nice, man. I've also started YouTube again. I don't even know where it came from. I just like woke up one day. I was like, I'm ready. So I've been full back in the swing of things. I released a video last week that was just a speculative analysis. I just like went over Modern Horizons and thought or shared all of my MTG Finance thoughts about like pretty much every relevant card in the set. Which was super fun. It's like 27 minutes long though, so I don't blame you if you don't want to watch the entire thing. Yeah, I'm making videos again as well. And additionally, some Cube news. I finally got a good Cube box. I got in on the Aaron Kane Kickstarter, picked up the Aaron Kane casket, ended up getting some like really cool wood designs and inlays. It's pretty pricey, but I've been watching his videos and has seen his work for like, I want to say going on 5 years now. So as soon as I saw the Kickstarter, I was like, okay, I got to get on in that. So I got in literally 10 minutes before it closed.
Nice.
And bought one. So I'll do a video review of that when it comes out. I think I won't get it until March. So it'll be some time, but super excited about that.
That is a lot of lead time, but those things are sweet. So I understand kind of like, and they're handmade. So I can definitely understand the wait time on that.
Mm-hmm. And then finally, one other piece of news. I finally figured out the bandwidth and kind of like what my day-to-day will look like in the position that I'm at work. So I've been in that position for like a year, and I feel like I can set aside probably 20 hours a week, just most of Saturday and then before and after work. I'm going to be opening up a store online. It'll hopefully have normal store and buyless functionality similar to Card Kingdom and ABU. It'll be, obviously, that's the software side of it. It'll be connected to a warehouse here in Seattle. This kind of all stemmed from, like, I recently just got back into Magic, like I was saying, more heavily a couple months ago, which is where the YouTube kind of stemmed from. And I've been selling quietly on TCG Player, just couple dollar cards here, random cards here and there, and realized I was like, this is really what I enjoy doing, and I think I can make something out of it. So we'll see. It's gonna be a long long road. I got work ahead of me, but I'm aiming for December, and I'll probably have a couple giveaways. I'll have more info on that in the coming weeks, but I'm super excited to kind of get that started, and I want to. Part of that business will be around sealed stuff, so I want to be in like the budget decks, and like you can buy pre-made cubes in the same way you can buy starter cubes and all these kinds of things. So most of it will be around bulk, and then slowly scale up from there. But like I said, long way. This is a lot of moving parts in this. So
sounds fun though.
Yeah. But anyway, let's get started. Cube Modern Horizons. What is there to say about the set that it hasn't already been said a million times?
It was an embarrassment of riches for both everything from a powered cube to pauper. You know, that everything just kind of, there's a lot of strong cards there.
And originally called EDH Horizons, which I think was not correct, but we later found out the power level was incredibly high, but cube didn't care regardless, so... Yeah,
it's true. Like we'll play them either way. It's fine. Well, I think, and some people were kind of like myself, where they envisioned it. You know, the first card they spoiled was Cabal Therapist, which is a more modern friendly version of a really strong older card. So I'm thinking more like, okay, we're going to get legacy level cards tweaked a little bit. And if nothing else, it'll be like redundancy of cards you might already play in cube. Turns out that was a very, very small percentage of what they put in the set. And that with a couple of like reprints into modern, like Mana War, which, you know, I do play in cube, but like it, you know, it's not anything new and exciting. And they didn't have a ton of that style card that was really impactful. But what they did do is explore this new design space and come up with just a lot of sweet cards. So, yeah, I think for a lot of people, like you said, they called it EDH Rec because a lot of the big splashy cards do look like EDH stuff, but there were so many other cards that really just checked a lot of boxes.
Mm. What are your top two or three cards from this set, out of curiosity?
Urza. Definitely like that card. It will probably get banned in modern, but as soon as I can, that'll actually be better for me because I can... Maybe find a good deal on a full to get on the cube at that point.
That's true. Do you think it'll be banned?
This Mythic Championship, like if it gets to it and it's like 80% Urza decks, yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And there's like three different builds and they're all, I mean, various two card combos that once you assemble them, like you just win on the spot. So But besides that, my favorite card is probably Deep Forest Hermit.
Yep.
It just does a lot of cool things. I think it's better than the two previous cards of that style we had. And I don't know, it's readily available. It's not played in anything else but EDH and Cube, so it's not that expensive. But I think as time goes on, it'll probably go up, which I think you mentioned in your finance video, which I was like, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, it's a really good power level. And like you said, it's like 20 cents or something. It's not even...
Yeah, but the foils, I think the foils are going to, like as time goes on, if they don't reprint this, it'll catch on up there because it's a sweet looking foil and, you know, it makes squirrels. Who doesn't like squirrels?
Yeah, exactly. One of my favorite cards in the set is Force of Vigor. I always like the naturalize effects and the fact that you can... cast this. So I was wrong in my video, and a bunch of people like tweeted me. I for some reason I when I initially read it, and from what I heard, you could get out of Mycosynth Lattice Karn lock with casting it from your hand, but you can't. But anyway, this card scales in its environment so well. If you're playing powered cube, Force of Vigor is like a home run hit. And the fact that it hits two cards is like, it's essentially a two for two. Or it can be either a 2-for-1 or a 2-for-2, and it's like, this is fine.
Like, yeah, it's not even like card disadvantage like any of the other you know, force negation, any of those, like, you're going to get two things, and at most it costs you two cards. And like I said, it's a blowout when it's really good.
Mm. And then Prismatic Vista, vanilla card, but workhorse. So
yeah, very needed, I think.
And so it's interesting to me that they made this card and then they printed Fabled Passage like 6 months later, which to me feels like, I mean, and I'm running both of them in Cube. I've been running Evolving Wild for a long time, and it's always been fine. Like, even in powered environments, like, the shuffle effect is decent, and oftentimes, like, you can still, like, it doesn't matter. Okay, you get one land that comes into, enters the battlefield tapped, it's like still fine. But Fabled Passage and Prismatic Vista, in terms of just utility vanilla fetch lands, are so good. Like, I couldn't imagine either of these cards 5 years ago when we started the cast. They would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's because, you know, in Cube, it's basically just a really hopped up limited format. Like, they might not be the best for constructed, but they're still same playing constructed. So yeah, they're great for Cube. And I'm kind of greedy sometimes with my mana. I like to splash that mountain or one or two swamps here and there, and they hit the spot. Mm-hmm. Now there's a couple really good white cards in this set that I've got two of them in my Cube, and I'm kind of waiting to get a good deal on the other one. But have you played any Giver of Runes yet?
I've played against it in I think the last, was there a last Legacy Cube, or it wasn't Legacy, whatever, like the Modern Cube that was on
Modern Cube that had Modern Horizons card. Yeah.
Yes, I lost to this card, I think, at least four times. Like, four different matches were lost to this card. And it just shows you how much of a house Mother of Runes is. And this card is almost situationally better because you can block Eldrazi and stuff with it. Yeah, this card's ridiculous.
Yeah, that one, I've been pretty happy with Winds of Abandon in my Cube.
I love it.
Just because it scales really well. But also the cheap cost. You know me, I like modal cards. Give me choices and I'll put it in there.
Well, those are the best cards for Cube anyway, right?
Yeah, they really are.
Flexibility.
And I've got Vesper Lark in there right now. I honestly don't have a feel for it. I haven't really seen it played much. Like, judging by the hits it has in my Cube, I think it'll be good, but I'm really not sure either way on that one just yet. But the Planeswalker, Sarah the Benevolent, it seems to be pulling its weight so far. And, you know, a 4-mana white Planeswalker in Cube is kind of hard to break into, so.
Mm. Yeah, no, I can imagine. I haven't played with it yet. It seems very good, but it's, yeah, I don't know. Unfortunately, I don't have too much to add. Quality analysis right here, but.
Trying to think. Force of Negation is one of the ones that I was really down on because it was, I don't know, it didn't do what I wanted it to do because it wasn't Force of Will. And you know, yeah, that's the thing. And it's stronger than I thought.
This card's
not bad. What I wanted, but very good.
It's not the hero you wanted, it's the hero you deserved.
Probably. So the fact it's non-creature is not as big a deal as I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Because in Cube, you know, most of the time, a lot of the time, the big creature that's coming down isn't being cast, it's being like reanimated in, or you know, Tooth and Nail or something like that. So It hits a lot more things than you would think just by the first reading. And well, the fact that it exiles the card.
Yeah, that's huge. I did not value that at all when it came out. That is, it's insane, actually. Yawgmoth, and I guess we'll just talk about everything, but Yawgmoth is, I won so many games of the most recent Cube with this card. It is a house. It is ridiculous. Like, well, oh my gosh, especially if you can, and like, not even the proliferate effect, just being able to like get rid of, if you have these cheap black creatures laying around or any form of token zombies or any of the, we had like one of these recursive one drops. I don't remember what it was. We just keep sacking that and then bringing it back. Or no, it was Bloodghast.
Bloodghast. Yeah. Bloodghast was that card that I was really close to just chunking out of my Cube. You know, I had a signed foil forever. And I was like, oh, nobody plays this card. And then Yawgmoth the print. I was like, yeah, Bloodghast isn't going anywhere. Just like it's one of the better two card combos. And like I said, if you have any planeswalkers or just any kind of counters that proliferate, does kind of get out of hand.
And don't underrate the pro humans. Like that's pretty good.
Honestly, that kept Stromkirk Noble in cube way longer than it had any right to be. The pro humans. I mean, yeah. It's funny, but like sometimes they just lead with a noble hierarch into random other human, like, oh, okay, one you, two you, three you, you know. So pro humans is one of the more relevant protection from tribe abilities I can think of.
Protection is such crap. Like, when you think of it with regards to mechanic, I have lost so many games to Mirren Crusader, like, or True Name, or whoever it is. Yeah.
Well, True Name, at least it's like, it doesn't matter what you're playing, it just names you, and that's fine. What really sucks is, like, I draft blue decks all the time. Blue-white control, Esper control, whatever, but mostly blue. The one time I go out on a limb and go, we're playing the rock. We're green-black, kill everything, big fatties, let's go. And then they go, like, they somehow turn to a Mirren Crusader, and then they get, like, a Jitte on it. And I'm like, okay, this was fun. This is great. I'm happy now. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Protection's a beating.
And then one, well, there's a couple other cards in here, but one card for outside of cube that I'm super excited about. I haven't picked one up yet, but I recently have started to assemble a foil sliver deck. So the first sliver is sweet.
It would be the first one I would start with, actually. So yeah.
There you go.
Cascade is just so broken.
It's awesome. It's so cool. But anyway, I think people know majority of these cards, but maybe say what are some underrated cards? So we just talked about Vesper Lark. I haven't been able to play with it, but I'm sure it's super good. Are there any cards that may not have been as flashy that you're excited about? Like, did you play Crashing Footfalls or anything like that?
That's one of the ones that I didn't look at originally. But you know, it's got the suspend mechanic, so it's really good with Cascade. And, you know, sometimes big rhinos it makes?
Yeah, 4/4. Like sometimes 2/4 rhinos.
Yeah. The other one that I absolutely was not on my radar at all, looking at it, and of course it's so expensive now, like there's no way I'm getting one anytime soon, is Renin 6.
Yeah.
Like, well, yeah, I don't think that card's at its best in cube, but it's still pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, I like recurring a strip mine. That is my idea for it.
Yeah, it's just, well, and I mean, Renin 6 with the fetch land is great in any format, but it's just so efficient. And I don't remember what my initial analysis of it was, because it was fine. Like, I saw that and be like, oh, this card isn't bad. No, this is like the most efficient, one of the most efficient cards ever printed. Like, this this card's ridiculous.
Well, and I fell into the trap of, I got down to the ultimate, and once I read it, like, it pretty much does nothing. Like, I don't think I've ever seen one ulted before. But, like, it doesn't matter, because you're not ulting it. You're plussing it, you're minusing it, you're doing one damage to kill, like, a hierarch or whatever, and you're getting your value off, like I said, your fetch lands or land destruction or whatever. And it comes down on turn two. I mean, it's definitely very efficient. Like I said.
All right, well, there's a couple other cards I can talk about here, but once again, I'm sure everyone is familiar with the set. Let's move on quickly to Core 20. This is, I don't play too much Magic during the summer, in all honesty. I'm usually outside, still obviously enjoy the game, but Core 20 is a set that I didn't pay too much attention to be honest. But I know that Chandra Awakened Inferno is a pretty good card.
Yeah, I don't know that I like it better than 4-mana Chandra, Torch of Defiance, but those emblems, they get going so fast, and the can't be countered is like my worst nightmare. I hate that. I hate that clause. Like, you hate protection, I hate can't be countered. Just not my thing.
What red planeswalkers do you have? This is actually a topic I'll add in a second, but do you have a cube Cobra or cube Tutor by any chance open?
I have both. Let me see. My red planeswalkers are Torch of Defiance, Dreddy, Koth, and Chandra Flamecaller. But to be fair, the reason Chandra Flamecaller is still in there is because I've got the zombie burnt Chandra San Diego Comic-Con promo.
Yeah.
and people like playing with it. So, and it's still a good card. It's just probably not quite good enough anymore. But so I've got those four. You're not counting like the multicolor ones, but like I would definitely play Awakened Inferno over Flamecaller if I had one.
Yeah, my list is outdated. I'm still playing Sarkhan Dragon Speaker, which isn't terrible either, to be honest, but probably need to make that switch.
Yeah, the 3-mana Chandra is not bad. The rare one, it's a good quick one, and if you have Chandra Tribal, it kind of stacks pretty well. Or any of the red planeswalkers out, you know, you can really, really pump them up pretty big.
Another card that I want to talk about that's coming under a lot of fire right now is Field of the Dead. I'd imagine in Cube, this is pretty much a control card. One of your control utility lands. You could just go long and hopefully overwhelm the board. I don't think Scapeshift is very popular. I guess you could also play this in mono green, obviously, if you really wanted to. But yeah, I don't know. What are your thoughts on core? So that and then Villis, Broker of Blood, is a card I want to try out a lot. Reanimating this with the actual card reanimate draws you 8 cards. And I've seen this, and granted, Reanimator and Legacy plays a lot of weird cards. They still play Tidespout Tyrant sometimes and Chancellor of the Annex. But this card is seen play in Legacy, so it can't be horrible.
Yeah, I didn't, honestly, when I first read it, I didn't know that the life loss draw card triggered with reanimate. I figured that you lost the life before it entered the battlefield, so it didn't happen, but apparently it kind of just all happens at once. So, but yeah, it's an 8/8 flyer that, you know, has any extra text. Like, I'm probably okay with that. But drawing cards, sign me up for that one too.
Mm-hmm. Elvish Reclaimer, or go ahead, pardon me.
Oh, yeah, Elvish Reclaimers. Pretty good. I thought it might see some play in Legacy Elves, and it kind of did, but not a ton. Like, it does search up a Guy's Cradle pretty well. And it's a 1/2 for one. It's an elf. So traditionally I have liked those cards. Deathrite Shaman, it's not, but it's still a good card.
I've seen a couple land builds with this, just being able to play it and then sack whatever, at instant speed, you can get your Bajuka Bog, or you can get, I mean, you already play Crop Rotation, but it's essentially functions as the same card. I don't know. This card's pretty sweet. I haven't been able to play with it in Cube. I haven't bought any Core 20 cards, but this is something that I'd be very excited to try.
Yeah, I think the only one I've got from this, because I didn't buy many packs of this either, I opened a Rotting Regisaur. And it goes really well in that reanimator deck you're talking about. And sometimes you just play it and just beat him to death, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what other...
Well, they have to address it, right? Like, okay, you're discarding a card, but it's like, you're also in black. So sometimes you can use the, like, that's an asset. That's like not even a downside. Like, oh, I'll just discard this Grizzlebrand.
Or like the vanilla way is like, oh, I'll discard the Slithering Souls.
Exactly.
And then once you get, you know, Hellbent, it just doesn't do anything. You're just like, oh, can't discard anything in upkeep. Don't have any cards. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say sacrifice it like they would have made it say like 5 or 10 years ago. It just sticks around. The Agent of Treachery is kind of cool. Just because anytime I get to, you know, just take target permanent, that's pretty strong. The only fact is it costs 7. So it's, luckily, it's entering the battlefield ability, so you could cheat it into play. And it's got some other basically flavor text about if you control 3 or more permanents you don't own, draw 3 cards. And I've yet to see that happen. if I do find that, I'll take a picture. That'd be great.
Let me know, please.
Yeah.
There are some. I'll see designs like this in cards where I'm like, this will never happen. Like, even in this limited format, I don't think this is going to happen either. Risen Reef is a card that's pretty cool. Granted, this is if you're doing combo strategy kinds of stuff in your cube. I would definitely look into this. Obviously, I've seen this played alongside Young Pyromancer, which is like very strange. But I think also the, what is it? What is the 2-mana snake elf druid thing?
Oh, a coiling oracle.
Coiling oracle. I've seen some brew with that kind of card as well, which isn't an elemental, but I don't know. Simic kind of colors in modern.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't have a cool creature type as the snake elf druid, but there's some elemental synergies in different cubes. I know a lot of the, was it the Cavalier cycle from this set, which are all mythics, and they're not quite Titans, but they're decent. All of them are elementals, so it has some synergies if you're building like a modern forward cube. I could see that working.
Mm.
Where is it? It's got the, what's the one drop? It's the Knight of the Ebon Legion. Now, that card's also very efficient. It looks very underwhelming when I first saw it, but then I just started thinking about Threat of Activation, and I was like, just sign me up for that one. It's a black for a 1/2 Vampire Knight, which, you know, are relevant creature types. And it's got the activated 2 and a black, and it gets +3/+3 and gains Death Touch until end of turn. But it also says, additionally, at the beginning of your instep, if a player lost 4 or more life this turn, put a +1/+1 counter on it. And it says a player, which could be you. So if you have a way to pay life or...
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
You know, anything, like you could dismember their guy, pay 4 life, and then this thing's going to get bigger at your instep. And like I said, you can swing in, and if they block it, you can pump it and just kill whatever they block it with. And if they don't, you can pump it, deal 4 damage, and then you get the permanent counter. So it's like, it for a 1-mana spell, it's kind of a must answer, which is pretty cool. It's not recursive, but I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Cool. Any additional core 20? I'm trying to think here. I'm unfortunately not as familiar. Veil of Summer is not really a cube card, even though I know this card is really massive.
There's the non-Jace, non-Tameo blue Planeswalker that, you know, if you just want variety, I haven't played with it a lot, but you know, you could slam that in there because it's a 3-mana Planeswalker. How bad can it really be? Spectral Sailor, I've heard good things about just because it has draw a card tacked onto it, and it's got flash, so there's that. And Cloud, I'm talking about all the blue cards, of course, because, you know, I like blue. Cloud Kinseer, which is just a really strong card. Like, it's, I would put that in almost any deck I've ever played because it's 3-mana for a 2-power flyer that draws a card when it comes in. So I play Elvish Visionary in a lot of formats, so I'd probably play Cloud Kinseer in this one, or in cube.
Mm. Well, sweet. All right, let's move on to the most recent set, which I'm actually creating a cart to buy my cards tonight. So Throne of Eldraine, obviously the new fall set, and they did something that a lot of people have strong feelings about, which is make collector boosters. And these collector boosters, you obviously have your alternative art and cards that essentially scream, Zakiel and Drew, get me in your cube, buy me now.
it's so bad. Like, because like you said, this is for us, but it's too much. Like, yeah. I don't even know where to start. There's regular pack foil. There's storybook. There's storybook foil. There's basically box toppers, which they have extended art. And those are also, I believe, in regular and full.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, I'm going to get the full version, whichever one I get. But like they have, like the storybook ones all have different art, like alternate art, like you said. And there's just a lot of these cards are really cubable. So I don't know. I'm going to get a lot of these.
It was funny, as I was making this list, I've been thinking about kind of the cool foils over time. And I still, Elite Mortal, if you're listening to this, you owe us a video because I know you've got some really cool stuff. But yeah, I don't know. So people were running the numbers online, and essentially the storybook showcase highest rare of rare cards are supposedly more rare than inventions and expeditions. They show up like, I think it's like a, there are, whatever, 40,000 total copies. Well, I think, obviously, there's a huge supply and demand difference. The inventions and expeditions were actual cards that people wanted. But, no, I mean, this set is cool. Like, there's so many... There's a lot of cool cards. Like, Murderous Rider is, I think, probably one of the most cubable cards I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I've been super into the Jen Ravenna art. She's been like a new artist that has really impressed me.
And that's the thing. I love both arts like a lot. Like I actually like the pack art a little bit more, and I've been thinking about getting the extended art one. But like you said, the Jin Ravenna is just, it's amazing. So I just don't, I'll just be happy to have any, either one of them. So
yeah,
definitely so we'll looking see. Forward to that.
Gilded Goo, I mean, oh my gosh, Oko is very cubable. I mean, it's, oh my goodness.
The six mana Garrick, like, do I just cut the Veraska that's very playable from Ixalan? Opened, that's the thing, I opened up a pre-release promo full of that in one of the pre-release kits I bought. And I'm like, well, I love this card, it's going in my cube, but I kind of want the, like the Mythic Edition looking one that they have with different art.
Yeah.
But not that much. So I don't know. It's really good.
The Royal Scions is another planeswalker. Yeah, I like Dak a bit more, but this is still very good. Like, can't complain.
Another one that I've been just really wanting is Rankle, Master of Pranks. It's like a kind of like Braids, but different, but it's a 3/3 haste flyer. I mean, what? There's definitely some stacks type effects going on now, and I'm definitely wanting to put it in. It's, and then you've got all the adventure cards. We haven't even talked about the adventure cards yet, where they usually have a pretty good effect on the front side, and you can cast the creature from exile later.
Yeah.
So, like,
well, that's why jumps I love out. Like Murderous Rider is insane, but go ahead. Yeah. Like,
yeah, like that. That was the first one because it's what is it? It's basically Hero's Downfall, but you pay 2 life, but then you get this 2/3 with lifelink that, yep. You know,
and you can put it on the bottom when it dies.
Yeah. So, like,
which it's is not, never, which is like, it is a thing.
Red got all kinds of goodies between Bonecrusher Giant, the Imbrith Shieldbreaker, which, you know, on the front end have very flexible abilities, and then the bodies are just bonuses. And then there's even the one that it's kind of like Faithless Looting, but it's only one card, but then it's an instant speed one, and then you get the 2/3 with the ability, but you got to pay mana. It's not as good, but I mean, I wouldn't fault somebody for playing it. It's got enough going on. Like you could do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to like I could literally name off 20 to 30 cards from this set that I would be perfectly fine at least testing out in my cube.
Yeah. So the Brazen Borrower is super good. I mean, not even counting the mythics, like you're saying, like Hypnotic Sprite, like you have, it has a 3 mana counter target spell with converted mana cost 3 or less. That's a very playable card, and you get a 2/1 body after it. Like you said, Embereth Shieldbreaker, I think for a cube purpose is probably one of the best cards in the set.
Especially powered, you know.
Oh, absolutely. No, I mean, this is, yeah. Fabled Passage, we talked about that earlier in the episode, but this is, I would love to get a foil extended art of this. I mean, I've been impressed. So when I initially thought or saw the theme, I didn't know what to think because it seemed super grab baggy. Because on top of this, I thought you could only get these in the deluxe edition that came out, which was like a $500 box I think a collector's edition box and then this 3x3 sheet, which I'm sure is fine, but I couldn't fully understand where you could open the cards. And now that I realize all of the showcase storybook are only in the collector's edition, that makes more sense. But like you're saying, like, I'm not even, all right, if you get the normal borderless or like the normal foil of all of these cards is still really good. Like Realm Cloak Giant also looks great in both arts. Wishclaw Talisman, like you just get a normal foil instead of the extended art, or you just get the extended art that's non-foil, or you get the extended art foil. Like I don't even, my cube pimpage barometer is completely off. I don't know what I want.
Yeah, and like if I get storybook in this one, like I kind of feel the need to get storybook in the other one. But what if I mean, there's just so many things to choose from, which is not a bad thing. I like choices, but it's just like you said, it's kind of like overload.
Charming Prince as well is another one I want to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot of these aggressive white creatures in here that that some of them have extra abilities and then some of them are just strong. Quick story. Jackie on Twitter, mm-hmm. I think you've cubed with her before, but mm-hmm. she was playing a pre-release, an Eldraine or event, side event or something, and somebody landed a Hushbringer, which is, you know, it's basically a
Hushwing Griff.
Yeah, Hushwing Griff or Torpor Orb or whatever on a 1-2 flyer with lifelink, and they played that like on turn 3, and she looks into her hand and she's got a Clack Brute Troll. That card, but it's a 5-mana 8/8 with trample and haste, and if you've got it, you just get real sad if you've got a Hushbringer out and then your opponent plays that, because you get really hosed really fast. So yeah, that's the kind of thing, like, I kind of want to get both of those in the cube now just in case that happens. But
that's fine. I can't stand the art of this card.
Which one?
A Hushbringer.
Yeah, no, I was hoping that the do they have it? They don't have any other art for that.
That's the only art.
Yeah, it's not my favorite for sure. Then there's stuff like Stone, Worthy Knight.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Makes me want to just go tribal. Like this set does make me want to do a little bit more tribal between it and like M20. Look into that, but I don't know.
There's a lot of fun variants and cool cards in the set. Wishclaw Talisman is another interesting card that has, I think, been abused quite a bit in some older extended formats, and I'm sure we'll see a lot of play in Legacy. I don't know. Overall, this set is sweet. I like it. I was initially confused. Didn't understand all of what everything meant, but now that everything is out, I'm curious to see how good Oko is, because this card is becoming... They're seeing a lot of play in not only Modern, but I've also seen it pop up in Legacy, which is usually an indicator that it's pretty pushed.
Yeah, like, I knew it was strong in Standard and like the Eldraine Limited, because I had it online pre-release pools. Mm. But yeah, like you said, you start seeing it played in older formats and just see it, the interactions with other cards, and it's a fun card. I'm glad they printed it, to be honest. I don't think it's too strong for like most reasons, but they definitely
not degenerate. It just seems like very efficient.
Mm-hmm. Like, there's definitely stronger cards that have been printed that are still legal. So going by that, I think it's fine. But yeah, there's just so much good design space that they hit up on this set, and they've already put out like kind of what the next few sets are going to be. And I'm as excited about upcoming sets as I have been in a while, which kind of sucks because I'm also playing the least amount of Magic I have in a long time. So
yeah, for sure. The new Theros set will be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
I think Theros Standard is the most... Theros Draft was the most drafts that I ever did. I think I played Blue-White Heroic, like, I'm not even joking, at least 50 different times during that format.
While I was... it's been a while, so I wasn't quite the old man I am now, but I was very much, you know, get off my lawn for that format, because I just learned you don't play enchantments in Limited because you get 2-for-1, and I just got really good at punishing people that did that. So I was like, kill your thing with my Doomblade, and then they print a set, and I'm like, kill your thing, it doesn't resolve. They're like, no, it comes into play, it just does. I'm like... Okay, this is not cool at all. I hate this. But yeah, looking back, it was a really good set. And they did what they needed to do to make enchantments good. So
Loop of Erebos was the most annoying card to play against in Limited during that set. That was horrible. That was just horrible. It was sweet, but good Lord.
It's like, oh, we're racing. Oh, now all of my stuff has lifelink. We're not racing anymore. So, and that's like the most base level of that card. So, I'm trying to think what else. Oh, they released the schedule for the next year, and I reckon they're just telling me I need to fly out to Seattle or somewhere to play.
Did they show the format? They didn't show the formats.
Oh, it's not even about the formats. It's the fact that next year, all of next year, there is a GP in November in Memphis, which is like only like 3-4-ish hours from me. So that's very doable. It's all interstate. It's fine. And then there's Louisville, which is like closer to 6 hours for me. And that's it. Like, those are the only drivable GPs for the entire year.
Oh, no.
And I'm like middle of the Southeast. Like, there's no Atlanta. There's no Nashville. I think the only Florida one
is Tampa, I think.
It's Palm Beach or Tampa or something like that. But, like, I'm honestly not driving there. So,
is there a Houston?
I don't remember, because probably wouldn't drive to Houston, to be honest.
Yeah, it's probably still too far.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, usually there might be a Columbus, but that's like, you know, that's north of Louisville, and so I'm probably not going farther than that. But yeah, there's a bunch on the Northeast and the West Coast. So you should probably have a few to choose from if you don't mind going a few hours.
Yeah. Well, I always go to the Seattle GPs just because it's one train. But yeah,
right there.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I think I'm going to try to do Portland. And then I would like to actually go to Vancouver. Vancouver Canada GP is just to, like, maybe go to the GP for one day and then just kind of hang out and relax for the rest of the weekend. But yeah. But yeah, you'll have to come to GP Seattle. That'd be a fun time. we have to organize something again. I want to do like a once a year GP. If it's Memphis again next year, I'm down, but we'll have to see if we get everybody out there.
That was a lot of fun this past year. And like I said, I'd be down doing that every year. And if I need to go out somewhere else every couple of years, that'd be.
Okay. So the next topic we had, which is something that's kind of been in the Cube community. It's been, I guess, rather bubbling up in the Cube community for over the past year, is the passing of the torch from Cube Tutor to Cube Cobra. Now, I followed the news. I'm not going to get too much into the details, but essentially CubeTutor has kind of just fallen out of favor with the terms to relevancy. They're using an old framework that's pretty difficult to update, so there won't really be any new feature development. With that said, several of the developers have taken that as a light, I guess, a green light to develop their own projects. So now we have Cube Cobra, which I've been pretty impressed with. They're building this out. They're throwing features out like on a weekly basis. And I mean, I like it, man. They have all the same features. It's free. It's an open source project. So you can, I guess, see the code if you're into that kind of thing. And I've been really impressed.
Well, the best feature they had was you can just copy and paste your Cube Tutor list directly to it. So it's like, okay, we're good.
Literally, yeah.
So, like, I haven't, like, the last time I think I updated, like, two or three cards on my list, and I went to Cube Cobra first. So, that hasn't been something I've done up until, you know, just recently. Now, I still like some of the stuff on Cube Tutor, like the comparing to list, because I've done it so many times. Like, it has the numbers that I compare with, like the Magic Online Vintage Cube, White Wolf's Cube. And like, I think LSV and Gabby had a list up, and like, those are the ones. And like, I would just randomly like, oh, what are they playing? What am I not playing? You know, just trying to get ideas. And like, it would remember which numbers I'd put in before. That was cool. But honestly, other than that, I really like Cube Cobra. So looking forward to some more stuff from them soon.
Yeah, and I guess for podcast topics, that's all I have written down. But another question I wanted to ask you specifically is, we played your cube at GP Memphis, but what cubing never really ends. I'm not sure the journey really ever ends, but how far would you say you are to completing your cube if you haven't already?
Honestly, I mean, it's pretty much completed. Like I said, there's some Modern Horizons cards that I wouldn't mind having. There's some Eldraine cards that I would like to have, but like, of the cards in my cube, like, there's maybe one or two that I might get a different version of, or maybe I had a different version at one point and had to change. Like, I had a 7th edition full of birds that I just eventually sold, and I've got the BioBox, assigned BioBox promo that I like on it almost as well. And, you know, just other than little stuff like that, like, it's pretty much why I want it. I do like trying out new stuff, but if I never added another cube card, I'd still think it'd be, I'd enjoy drafting it for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Because my cube is nowhere near finished.
Well, you keep getting these sweet deals on, like, you know, black border
stuff. That's way too expensive. But I keep, my cube has been, I think, cannibalized over at least 6 times. So I'm like looking at, I have to like rebuy Yavimai Elders and all, like for like the 5th time. Like I need a foil Yavimai Elder. Just like come on.
Just random stuff like that.
Yeah, like the stuff that's like not even expensive, but just not things you'll find in your LGS that you have to obviously buy online.
Yeah. It's like I like for example, I've got, I think all of my full shock lands are Return to Ravnica block. I had a Dissension Breeding Pool, but I believe you have that now.
Yeah,
which is fine. But now they kind of all match. Because I knew I wasn't going back to get them all original at that point, because it was just like, even I'm not going to do that. And if anybody would do it, it would be me. But like, I already had the other ones in full. I'm like, I'm not going to like spend $2,000 redoing these. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
But I'm actually to the point now where I'm thinking about downgrading some stuff, which is strange, but like I've got a beta Mind Twist I got from Jeremy. When it was around 400 at the time, and then he made me a deal on top of that, you know, and it is minty. And I've got like a foreign black border. I think it's Portuguese, but I could pick up like a German or a Japanese one for like $40 or $50 if I wanted to get a different language. Mm-hmm. I've also got the invocation version if I really want to go that route, which I don't. but like I noticed the other day, like the cheapest one on TCG Player is moderately played and it's like $700. Yeah. So, you know, there's certain stuff like that. I'm like, I could sell this and either A, buy a bunch of Magic cards, or I don't know, buy a new computer. So it's my cube's kind of at that point. Like any tinkering I do will be just stuff like that. And like I said, occasionally picking up 5 cards here, 5 cards there, and a new set comes out.
Yeah. It can never truly end, because you'll always want to add new cards if you're actively playing. Mm-hmm. My goal by the end of 2020 is I want to have, so this is over the next year, obviously, by the end of 2020, I want to have a final list completed. It'd be fine if I'm missing a couple of the high end stuff, but I want to be able to just have it playable. And I guess just go from there and like be able to host cube drafts. Cause I haven't been able to host a cube draft in like over a year, maybe two, cause I haven't played in a year and a half actually. When I got that Lotus, I lost a bunch of the high end stuff. And then I ended up trading away a lot of the mid range stuff. So yeah, my goal, have it done. Edit it once a year and then probably not necessarily be done with it, but I don't know. I've come to the terms that my relationship with Magic is no longer an addiction, it is an affliction. So
that's good. I'm gonna use that. That's good.
So we'll see. But I don't know, man. I really like Magic. I obviously really like Cube. One of the other announcements that I was going to hold off on, but I will share a little bit about, for anyone who's still listening, you are a big fan. When this new project drops, when the store drops, I'm going to be doing a bunch of giveaways. And our friends at, oh my gosh, that new Cube podcast, what is it called? They just had Anthony. Solely Singleton? Yeah, Solely Singleton has been doing an excellent, excellent job for the community. I really like listening to them. And they have a board game Cube, which is a budget cube. I think the total list runs at about $100, and most of the cards are really bulk. And I have been buying bulk like crazy. I have like 50,000 cards in my living room. My girlfriend is not happy.
Which is why I'm getting, I can't imagine why.
Why I'm getting this warehouse, a little storage unit area. And so I'm going to be doing, I think I'm going to try to do a cube giveaway, probably give away a couple cubes in December. If everything launches in time. So hold me to that if you're listening. Don't let me get away. Don't let me forget. Hold me to that. I will do it. And we did promise previously on an older episode that I'd give away a Card Kingdom starter cube. I'm still man of my word. I'm keeping to what I said. But it'll probably, I think, be in December. But yeah, man, I don't know. If I was to describe my relationship with Magic again, it would be like a bit more rejuvenated. Like I kind of, everyone I think fades in and out, and obviously summertime, you know, more common to be outside and all that kind of stuff. But now that it's approaching winter in Seattle, it's cold, it's rainy, I got to be inside. So we're going to play more Magic. I'm super, super excited.
Well, I know you've got I gave you some of the Cuba Majigs that I had. Yeah. And you've got the new Aaron Kane deck box coming in, or, you know, cube box. Do you have your sleeves picked out?
So I have a bunch of Haruya sleeves from a couple of years back, and I really like those. I most recently have been re-sleeving all of the cards in, say, right here. These dragon, like the new double sleeving perfect fits from Dragon Shield, the like ones that have that full edge that like slides back in. But I think I'm gonna do Haruya. I don't know what are the hot new sleeves. I don't even know.
Well, I'm pretty sure I had them at Memphis, but or did I? I got the katanas from Ultimate Guard.
Oh yeah, those are supposed to be pretty.
I don't know if I had those or not. I don't know if I had those in Memphis yet. But yeah, I've got some of those, and those are amazing. Like, I like them better than I liked the old Formula KMCs back, you know, 3-4 years ago. They're really good for double sleeving. They shuffle great. So far, they haven't clicked a lot of dirt or anything like that. And the best thing for me is they show off foils amazingly. Because, like, you know, you have the Eclipse sleeves from Ultra Pro that have the good shuffling, good double sleeving and all that. But, like, they're kind of a matte, dull front. So yeah. Foils do nothing. So I definitely couldn't use those.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm big into the katanas. I do like the Haruyas. I can't ever say that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But like when they first came out, you couldn't find them. So I just kind of moved on. But I do like
them. Going like for like $40 a pack or something. Like there was like you could resell the sleeves. It was a thing.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, sounds like you know you're gonna get. You're getting all your supplies ready and gonna start cubing more often. That'd be great.
Yeah, you'll see cube pictures from me. So we'll see. I'm a little nervous to be honest, but I normally do holiday cube drafts with like my high school and college friend group, which they're not gonna take any cards or anything like that. But cubing with randos, still not sure if I'm down with yet.
I've done it a couple times. And occasionally you'll get that one person and you're like, I feel like I need to watch you. And it turned, you know, nothing ever happened or it hasn't ever happened to me. But like one guy was like just offering to shuffle up and make packs for us. We literally had never met this dude before and he wanted to help like put him back into packs. And I'm like, okay. And I was going so slow because I was literally staring at his hands while I was making packs. And then what happened? We came up like one card short. And I'm like, what the world? And I knew that I had personally put in like my Jace, my a bunch of the Collector's Edition Power and like my Cradle. Like I'd personally put those into packs, like as I was making packs. I knew those were in there. I was like, well, he didn't get any of these. Like, wonder if he got anything. And sure enough, my other friend that was sitting there helping me, I noticed that one of the packs, just for some reason, it stood out to me. I opened it up. There were 16 cards in that pack.
So yeah, yeah.
Nothing was missing, but like, yeah, I know what you mean. Like, you get around just some random person you don't know, and it's like you get nervous. It happens. So, but sometimes I've had to kind of rely on a random every once in a while to fire an 8-person draft, which is kind of weird.
Yeah.
On the bright side,
benefit of the doubt. I don't think most people are evil and do stuff like that, but unfortunately, the world can be cruel.
Yeah, that's the thing. Most and that's the other thing. Like most time, like when you let people draft your cube, like they're usually just really excited to be playing Magic and getting to draft, you know, for free and just having fun. Also, the amount of people that after they drafted my cube, we're still convinced that it was like mostly proxies is amazing.
Wait, really?
Like, yeah, like one guy had drafted it twice, and then all of a sudden, like, we got a new guy, and he's like, God, how much is this worth? He's looking at, like, one just a random old border fool, and I'm like, I don't know, like, 100, 80? I got it, like, 5 years ago. I don't know. You know, and the guy goes, wait, that's real? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, are all of these real? And I'm like, well, the Powers Collector's Edition, but yeah, they're not proxies. And his face was priceless. So
yeah, he was like, great. Wait,
what? He's like, I was like, why do you think I told nobody to riffle shuffle my cards? Like, if they're yeah. proxies, I would not care at all.
But yeah, well, all right, I'm trying to think. Any other, before we wrap up, any other news or additional topics?
Well, we really need Cube on Arena somehow, some way, and to be able to draft against actual people on Arena, because it's really hard to fire anything on Moto. So there's that. And that's how like 90% of my magic comes from, so. I want to play Cube, it's got to be on Moto, and even when they're having Cube now, it's still not like it was a couple years ago. Like, you don't fire drafts on demands. Hoping they come up with something for Arena sometime soon.
Well, and the other issue with Moto is it's kind like, once Arena came out, their economy kind of tanked, mm-hmm. but the ceiling is still there. So, like, Force of Negation is still, like, 100 tickets or something. So they're like,
you can't even redeem it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they're like, there are things like that where I'm like, ah, like I have a modern Merfolk deck, but I can't on Moto. I've had it for years, mm-hmm. but I can't. Like, I need Force of Negations online. I'm not going to pay $400 for a non-redeemable like card that I never play with, right? So
they could get a literal like ash in. Like, yeah. It could be like worth digital nothing.
So. That's been it. But yeah, I think that's all I got today. All right, this is a lot shorter than our normal 3-hour podcast, but trying to think. Any foils you're hunting for, anything you're looking, anyone out there may be able to help or trade for?
Well, and that's the other thing. It's funny you mentioned that, because when I started this, you actually did trade for cards. That was the thing you could do. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, like, if they had one expensive foil, and they get like 10 standard cards for it, they're all about that. You can't do mm-hmm. that now. Like, it just doesn't exist, really. Mm-hmm. Or at least doesn't in a lot of the areas, I know. But one thing I've been really happy with lately, like an Urza from a cube. I need a Sarah Planeswalker. Like I said, like I could easily get like 10 to 15, if not more, cards from Thurnaville Drain. So I'm going to pick them up a little bit at a time, or I may go crazy one. Load up a card at TCG player. I don't know.
Everything's recent though, right? Nothing
past like War of the Spark.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
Like I need a full Dreadhorde General Liliana. And
I really, I'm glad you said that. I really want them to judge promo that. I don't have anything against buying the Japanese, but if I do buy it, it's going to be one of those things where I buy it and then like the next month they're like, oh, this is now available in Judge promo in English. It's only $100. Like,
you say, and that's the thing, I'll probably get the pack art just because of that. But
I love the art. Like if this was an English Judge promo, I would pay cash for this. Like, it's so, so cool. And the card is so powerful, but I don't want Japanese cards, fortunately.
Yeah, the Narset's the other one in that set that I really don't want to get in Japanese full, but I also really do. So, yeah. You know. Another thing while I'm thinking about it real quick, there's been a kind of resurgence in the Cube community, really. You know, you're making some videos now. I've started making some videos, as few people have seen them. But there's, I don't know, just a handful of new Life Begins at 20. Came back. He was away for like a year doing, you know, real life stuff.
Life Begins at 20. Yeah. I like his videos a lot.
Yeah. He's also like another guy that's like, I think he's a graphic video designer as his job, which when I watch his videos and just see his lower thirds, I'm like, I hate you so much. But I'm like, it's his job. It's like watching one of Sam's videos. Like, if you try and compare your stuff to that, you're just never going to make anything again. So I've been really trying not to do that. And then there's also like Cultic Cube. Like I said, there's the Solely Singleton podcast that I've been like I've been really happy listening to it. You know, a lot more people are getting like into it on Twitter, even more than a couple years ago, which is, it's cool. If we can just get Milo back, it'll be okay.
So I wouldn't be surprised if these mystery packs, so the, one of the new products that were announced, I wouldn't be surprised to see a cube product in the next year, just because they're like, the card pool in Magic is so big right now. And there are so many cards that aren't like, they wouldn't kill a lot of their reprint equity or drive too much value if they made, like, they can make like a really quality cube product for $99. And that's a great price point. I mean, if they're reprinting Inferno Titan and stuff like that, like, nope, that's not worth anything. And it's very powerful.
Yeah, like you said, a lot of them aren't worth anything. Like, it's just harder to find. Like, even if there's five printings, like, you know, if you didn't start playing 5 years ago, you might not be able to find it. And like you said, $100 would be, I don't know how big it could be, but like, you know, Card Kingdom, the one we talked about a couple episodes back, or however many episodes back, you know, they had a very playable cube for $100, and that was them putting it together. WotC, if they can print these cards, you know, the list might not be amazing, but it'd definitely be a good, you know, $100 for a starter cube. Like, it'd be a great Christmas gift. It'd be
an excellent entry point for people to come to the format. And I mean, I love Magic as a game. It's one of the best, if not one of the best games ever. And I mean, I view Magic as not necessarily being a singular game, but like a rule set that many games follow. But I think Cube is the best format. And I love Legacy. I love Commander, but I think Cube is just the best way to experience Magic.
It's kind of hard for it not to be, since you get to design it. And if it's something you don't like, you just change it. And it just kind of, it's self-regulating. You know, if you have a playgroup, isn't having fun, they usually tell you, and you tweak some stuff. And it's just very, I don't know, it's very, it's got a lot of flow to it. Like, it's just, like you said, it's never finished, but it's always, you know, tunable. So.
Well, all right. I think that's what we have for today. Any final comments? Parting words?
You know, best wishes on me finishing this this balance video that I've got trying to work through. So if I can find some time, if it goes out, please go watch it, because it took way too long.
And if they wanted to watch that video and or follow you online, where would they look?
YouTube is Quad Nines, the number 9 and an S, and then on Twitter it's Quad Nines, all spelled out. I'm also on Reddit, although to be honest, I don't remember which one of those my tag is on Reddit, but there's not any other one, so it's probably me if you see it.
Yep. My name is Zakeel. You can find me online on Twitter at Zakeel Gordon. You can also find me on YouTube at Merfolk Magic, most recently relaunched my YouTube channel, and I have a new video coming, I think, hopefully in the next week and a half. It'll be Magic cards versus the stock market. It's a really fun, I've done a lot of research for it. I'm putting it together right now. I think a lot of people will like it. I will not give you my Reddit information just because, but no, anyway, thanks so much for listening, guys. I will keep everyone tuned on the status of that update, and we will keep putting out episodes probably every couple months, because that's how we roll. So anyway, happy cubing, everyone. Take care, and hope to talk to you soon.